Blog Talk Radio.
This is November 21st, day before John Kennedy was shot in 1963. I remember it well. I was at work and after I left school and came into the office and someone said, the president's been shot. And all we said was, nah. Of course, this was November 22nd. And the country was in shock. And President Lyndon Johnson, he became president upon the death of Kennedy, declared that weekend a weekend of national mourning, and world leaders converged on Washington. The most prominent was General Charles de Gaulle with his kepi and his general's uniform and a big tall chap. It's also his birthday this month, and I remember that well. And of course, this is the 50th anniversary of that assassination, one of the most controversial in U.S. history. Of course, around the movie theaters around the country is the latest version of Lincoln. And Daniel Day-Lewis is an Irishman believed to have a Jewish heritage. We believe that his family probably originated in Eastern Europe, as just like Mayor Briscoe, the practicing Jew, was mayor of Dublin, Ireland. And there are quite a few, I understand, people of Jewish heritage and who practice Judaism in Ireland. And so the joke is Ireland is the 13th tribe of Israel. Among these verbs today, we have Voltaire, great French playwright, great musician, quite a few musicians born on this day, Coleman Hawkins, Lorna Luft, Judy Garland's daughter, James the Priest, who's probably the most prominent black American conductor. He is the nephew of Marian Anderson, and he had polio. He conducts the Portland Symphony Orchestra. Blacks who wanted to become symphony orchestra players, only singers, women singers like Leontine Price, Martina Arroyo, who's Puerto Rican, were able to make it in classical music. As there was, I hate to say it, but there was racism there. If you were a black a pianist or a black conductor or even a composer, you had to go to Europe, like James the Priest did. He conducted an orchestra in Finland. And he had polio. He's a great musician. He's made several fine recordings. Among the other musicians today are people who played music, musical characters, opera singers. Eleanor Paul, who is was the ex-wife, she's dead, of Glenn Ford, who came here from Canada and joined the U.S. Marines in World War II. She starred in the movie about Marjorie Lawrence, who's also suffered polio. She's a great opera singer from Australia. And she finally sang on a Metropolitan Opera playing Tristan and Isolde. And Glenn Ford played her husband as the doctor. And the movie is Interrupted Melody, a great movie. Marlo Thomas, the daughter of Danny Thomas, born on the stage, Goldie Hawn. And Tina Brown, who wrote, who started Cosmopolitan magazine, or Cosmo. Another great actor, you should see this film, Ship of Fools, by Catherine Ann Porter. It's very applicable to the mentality of the Americans, some Americans today. Charles Corbin was born in Hungary, and it's a great movie. Highly recommend it. And back to Lincoln, Jim Bishop, who wrote The Day That Lincoln Was Shot. He also wrote The Day That Christ Died. Of course, this is part of that Lincoln memorabilia. And then we'll have Patrick Butler back on. He's probably Illinois' best and current authority on Lincoln assassinations and that sort. He's been around for about 50, not Lincoln, but Butler's been around for about 50 years. He did work for Pulitzer Papers and others. And, of course, he knows where a lot of the bodies are buried, and maybe he helped bury a few, and we're speaking journalistically. Among the deaths today, back to burying bodies, Franz Joseph, the longest-serving monarch, male monarch, and one of the longest. The other one was Louis XIV. Franz Joseph bungled into World War I when Princip shot the heir to the Austrian throne, Archduke Ferdinand, and his wife. And Franz Joseph died in 1916. He did not see the end of the war, and his nephew, Archduke Karl, became emperor and then abdicated when Austria-Hungary and Germany lost World War I. The first woman to be executed in California, Juanita Spellini, also known as the Duchess, Warren Duffy of San Quentin Prison remarked that she was the coldest woman he ever met. She was the ran a gang and murdered a 19-year-old member of the gang and tried to set it up as a suicide. She was the first woman executed in California in 1941. Among the events today, the first blacks to be emancipated or freed in 1654. This was 100 years before Lincoln, 200 years before Abe Lincoln. Richard Johnson was given 500 acres of land in Virginia. In 1787, after the war, Andrew Jackson was admitted to the bar. And, of course, he, instead of a gavel, he used a cane and his sword and I think a whip. Interesting guy. He was brutalized by the British. His older brother died as captive on one of the British captive ships. He never forgave the English for what they did to him and his family. In 1818, believe this, Alexander I, Tsar of Russia, was the first monarch to petition for a Jewish state to be set up in what was known as Palestine. In 1877, Thomas Edison announced he invented a talking machine. We have a rare recording from our archives. Mary Had a Little Lamb. We'll probably play it Friday if I can find it. We have about over 1,000, 1,500 interviews or more, and that's just audio, and we have about 500 videos that we're working on or we have put together over the years. It's part of the Carson Verzola Audio-Visual Print Historical Archives. In 1933, William Bullitt became the first U.S. ambassador to the Soviet Union. 1935, this has a connection to San Francisco, to John Barber Gelada. He was a he worked on the for Pan Am and on the Pan Am Clippers, and they started their first service across the Pacific. Famous movie with Humphrey Bogart, Mary Astor, and I forgot the Japanese character, it's probably Chinese, called Across the Pacific, where Humphrey Bogart meets this woman spy on a ship, and the Japanese guy tries to plot to bomb and destroy the Panama Canal. It's called Across the Pacific. In 1964, the Verrazano Narrows Bridge was constructed and became the world's longest suspension bridge, and I don't know how it survived Sandy, the earthquake that hit New York, not the earthquake, the hurricane that hit New York. And believe this, you know, Richard Nixon did play the piano, as did Harry Truman. We had some interesting presidents who also were musicians. Harry Truman played the piano, Richard Nixon. And in 1959, I think we have this in our archives, Richard Nixon and Jack Benny, who played the violin. They were both in the Navy, believe it or not. Jack Benny was in World War I, and Richard Nixon was in World War II. Jack Benny and Richard Nixon played a duet. 1959. This is a musical first for these two. And in back to the airlines history, in 1977, the Concorde, the disastrous collaboration between the British and the French aeronautical industries, to build this supersonic jet, which was so damn noisy, most of the airports in the world banned it. This was the first flight of the Concorde, and it went in 3 hours from New York to Paris. Usually it takes about 7 hours, as I recall, when I flew from New York to Paris after I graduated from college. We had a problem the other day, and I hope we've got it resolved, but we'll get into this again today. Among our political animals, James Garfield was the first president assassinated before he could give his State of the Union. His vice president, Chester Arthur, was because of his mutton chops, he was called, his nickname was Arthurian. And he was accused of being born in Quebec, Canada, which on the other side of the border is Vermont, where he was from, or where he said he was from. Now, Thanksgiving is tomorrow, and, of course, we have Christmas and New Year's coming up, and there's a lot of pastries that are going to be baked if they haven't been baked already. And there are people who buy canned pumpkin. Look at the label, and if it comes from China, you better be wary, because there have been a lot of problems with pesticides, which are banned here in the United States, and then, of course, the controversy about genetically modified food, that they may be doing things over there, and, of course, their pet food, don't touch it. Priority, which is made by a pet food company that also made a kibble that had malamine in it and killed a lot of dogs. So you should look at the labels. Information is power. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and not only hurt you, but kill you or your family. And if you buy a baked pie in a bakery or like Safeway or Kroger or Jewel or any of the stores around the country, ask the baker where that pumpkin comes from. Because if you get sick, you better be able to identify what it was that made you sick or hopefully doesn't kill your family or you. You know, again, you've got to ask these questions about this food that's coming into the country. And one of the things we did find out, I met a fisherman who worked in the North Pacific, and he told me that Chinese have been overfishing the ocean, and what they do is they buy the catch from Americans, package it with fish from China, and then resell it to us, or repackage it and then sell it to our store. So you got to be very leery about some of this fish. And also, farm-raised fish products like shrimp, tilapia, which is a bottom feeder, they put antibiotics in the water. And these antibiotics is a residue in the fish. And if you eat a lot of this stuff and you have to take a similar antibiotic, you may have built up a resistance because you have eaten that fish or the fish product. So you've got to be more aware of what you put in your mouth. No pun intended. Now, some animal rights groups are raising questions about Swift's butterball turkeys. Are they abusing these turkeys? Are these turkeys brutalized while they're alive? Are they bashed and beaten? Gustav Swift was one of the Civil War meat packers, along with Philip Armour and George Hormel. Hormel is controversial for a lot of things, but that's another story. But these people had scandals in the meatpacking industry. Sinclair Lewis wrote about them in a book about Chicago's meatpacking called The Jungle. And it's a classic, and you should read it. If you are interested in the history of what happened to your grandfather's meat and sausages, what they really did. But there are some serious questions about these butterball turkeys. Now, we haven't been able to get an answer out of Swift. Are these turkeys abused before they're killed? We know that downers, these are cattle that are injured, which the horrible things that they do to move these cattle and what they do to their calves. And it's time for humane slaughter of food animals. I'm not a vegetarian, but I don't believe that humans have a right to abuse animals. I've seen this happen in Australia when I was over there. Something had happened to a greyhound. He broke his legs. A veterinary orthopedist who was experimenting did this on a Friday. Didn't give that greyhound. I don't know why he had to break the legs anyway. He was experimenting to see if he could come up with a surgical technique to help injured dogs, supposedly. But he left this poor greyhound in sheer agony over the weekend. And I said to him, "How would you like it if somebody broke your legs and left you to linger in pain for a weekend or a week or a month?" He didn't answer me. The other question we need to ask, because this election is not over, we have even more issues because of this election than any other election in my lifetime, and I've been around for in politics for nearly 50 years, since I was a wee teenager. There's a growing question about vote fraud, not only here in San Francisco, but the sheriff down in Los Angeles County, we discovered that his people are allowing inmates and detainees to use the L.A. County Jail as a voter registration address and presumably to vote. We have this problem up here in San Francisco, with the previous sheriff, a guy named Mike Hennessy, who was a northern version of a southern sheriff. There was male rape, brutalizing women, stripping a 70-year-old nun, throwing her naked in a cold cell. All these issues went on with this guy. They even had a cop registered to vote in the San Francisco jail, or city prison as it's called. But when we discovered this policeman really lived in San Mateo County, it was improbable that a cop would be in jail registering to vote and voting. But this is what happened with this. And now we have this guy, Mira Karimi, a controversial Muslim, who beat his wife, neglected his child, and kept saying this is a private matter, which is code word in Muslim and Islam religion for, that men, males, have total domination over their women folk and their children. So, you know, you got to start paying attention to this. I talked to somebody in the South who said, "Why don't you check with your local sheriff to see if they're registering their inmates and allowing them to register to vote and voting in their jails?" She didn't get an answer back. So, you know, if you're concerned about the voter franchise, there was a lot of vote fraud this last election, I suggest you get on it. Otherwise, you know, don't complain when you get an incompetent or corrupt or pedophilic politician. And we're beginning to see more and more of them, not only males, but women as well. We are putting together our cataloging all our historical audio and visual tapes and videos and DVD types, and they'll be available to museums around the world. We'll put together a sample, and we'll tell you how you can get one. Among the rarities that nobody else has is the last British American survivor of Gallipoli in World War II. Colonel Hodges served in the American Army in the World War I. He was at the Battle of the Somme and at Gallipoli. He was actually the real war horse. We have General Berrigan, who was the deputy commander at Normandy. He built build the mulberry bridges. He did a lot of veterinary sanitation work after World War II, and he was called to Chicago to work on the St. Lawrence Seaway, the American side, and the Canadians had their side also, and he built the American side. Later came to San Francisco to retire, and he was called out of retirement to work on our clean water program. We also have a Brit, a Canadian who served in the British Navy in World War II. We have a Brit who was in SOE, Special Operations Executive, which Churchill used to prevent the communists from taking over Greece. We have his interview. We have many others, a survivor of the Tito regime in Yugoslavia, served in a Croatian who served in Yugoslav Army, and some interesting insights that he gave us, and a lot of things like that. It's a lot of rarities you won't hear anyplace else or see. So go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, amicusveritas.org, and we'll have more stuff up there. We're just running a little behind. We think it's appropriate to give thanks and to recognize those of us who believe in a higher being, as I'll use that phrase. I think this is appropriate music, and it's played by Albert Schweitzer, a German who went to Africa. Dr. Schweitzer went to work among the poor and the diseased, and I believe the leopards. He was also a very fine organist, and I think this is appropriate. And Lotte Lehmann, the great German opera singer, sings Ein Feste Burger. I think it's appropriate this Thanksgiving holiday. That's the recording. I think it's appropriate since we talk about Juanita Spinelli, and known as the Duchess, and ran this crime gang. Clarence Darrow comments on crime in this audio clip. Now, the San Francisco Weekly, every now and then they publish something that's really great, and they've just a thing on how the poor who are in jail, even if they're innocent, can't get bail. And their lives are destroyed. They lose their houses, their families, their jobs, their cars, their self-respect. They're brutalized. And I think this is very appropriate. Clarence Darrow was the famous lawyer, although he did some funky things, who defended Richard Loeb and Leopold, who were two teenagers, late wealthy Jewish kids, I don't think they practiced, who were lovers. And they did a homosexual throat killing, and he saved them from the gallows. They came from wealthy families, and they killed this poor Bobby Franks. Loeb tried to rape a guy in the showers at the Stateville prison, which is the San Quentin of Illinois, and he was killed while trying to rape another inmate. But here is Clarence Darrow commenting on the origin of crime.
People think there is no cause for crime, except the pure cussedness of the ones they call criminals. But as a matter of fact, there's a cause for everything in this world. And there's no way to remove the evil without removing the cause. There's a cause for all sorts of human conduct, just exactly as there's a cause for all the physical action of the universe. The real cause of crime is poverty, ignorance, hard luck, and generally youth. These almost invariably combine to produce what we call a crime. When we look at the prisoners in the jail, we find that all of them practically are poor, at least 9/10. And these have always been poor. At least 9/10 began what they call a criminal career as mere children. 11, 12, 13. At a time of life when the ways of life are fixed. 9/10 of them also are ignorant. They've never had the training that every intelligent parent would think was necessary to keep their child out of prison and make him safe in the community. All of these things almost universally combine to put people in jail.
That was Clarence Darrow, and we will have that article, which was in the San Francisco Weekly. Well, with politics and poker, we'll be back Friday. And here goes. Our usual theme.
What do you say, Ben? Want a hand?
No, you guys go ahead. I got too much on my mind to play poker.
King bet.
Cost you $5. Tony, up to you.
Hey, Tony, what are you going to do?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Me too. Gentlemen, here we are, and one thing is clear. We gotta pick a candidate for Congress this year. Big ace.
Ace bets.
You'll pay through the nose.
Okay, where do you stand?
I'm in.
So am I.
Likewise.
Here goes.
Possible straight, possible flush, nothing.
Gentlemen, how about some names we can use? Some qualified Republican who's willing to lose.
How's about we should make Jack Riley the guy?
Which Riley are you thinking of, Jack B or Jack Y?
I say neither one. I never even met him.
I say, when you got a pair of jacks, bat out.
Politics and poker, politics and poker. Shuffle up the cards and find the joker. Need a game for children, need a game is rough. Decisions, decisions, like
who to pick,
how to play, not to bet.
Where's the call of
fellas, politics or poker, which is more important?
Paratrays.
Bet 'em.
Little trade, good as gold.
I'll say.
Raise your mind.
I'll call.
I'll hold.
I'll raise your back.
I think you're bluffing.
Put your money where your mouth is.
Okay, I'm in. Gentlemen, knock it off and let's get this done.
Try Michael Fanyachinkovich, I'm certain he'd run. Mike is out. I'm afraid he just wouldn't sell. Nobody likes a candidate whose name they can't spell.
How about Dave Zimmerman?
Davey's too bright.
What about Walt Gustafson?
Walt died last night.
How about Frank Monahan?
What about George Gale?
Frank ain't a citizen, and George is in jail.
We could run out Wallenstein.
Well, we'll be back Friday. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And remember, if you're ordering a pumpkin pie from a bakery, just don't be afraid to ask. Ignorance is not bliss. What you don't know can hurt, harm, and possibly kill you, especially with food these days. This is Peter Paul Brazilla. We'll be back Friday at 4 o'clock. We won't be that stuffed as a turkey. So have a happy, safe, and don't drink heavily. Or don't drink and drive. Peter Paul Brazilla, and go to our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, AMICUSVERITAS. Happy Thanksgiving, and give thanks to whoever you think is the creator.